Oh, that
Holy
was.
fuck, that was nice.
Not full screen. The opposite of full screen. Minimize. Not minimize.
Tell you one thing, though. I'm definitely looking forward to Wings Over Wanaka next week, because they have one hell of a lineup. I mean, we're talking a brand new Mosquito is going to be flying. It'll be the second time I've ever seen that. So that'll be like a Mosquito, 2 Merlin engines, full bore at 100 feet above you. Jesus Christ, that's amazing.
I bet.
That gets your wanker moving.
Oh boy, it does it. I mean, like you know, Don, like I've sent footage of air shows in Auckland to Don, and you know, he was saying they can't even fly that close over there in Canada and stuff, just because of insurance and stuff like that. Meanwhile, we're like, yeah, I could almost touch that aircraft as it goes by, you know?
It's like, hey, how do the pilots really do it? Do that, except don't shoot.
So there's that. We've got a P-51D, which has its original engine. That is,
oh, for fuck's sake, please record that.
Yeah, so like all the P-51s at the moment, like worldwide, I think have like reproduction engines or modern ones, or you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Whereas, because we're going to have two down there, the standard one and then this new one. Yeah, it's the only one where the engine is original. So it was kind of like one of the ones that was just stored after the war. You know, it never really made it. So those ones, when you find them, are usually in really good condition. So yeah, so it's going to be the original. It's got an original engine. We've got two F-16s from the U.S. Air Force. They're flying down from Japan to come to the show with a C-17. Is it Globemaster?
Not sure, but just imagine, like,
I think so.
You're a pilot, and you're like, hey, you got a TYD. You're going to fucking Australia or New Zealand for a fucking air show. Okay. Shit.
That'll be the easiest fucking weekend ever.
Oh, dude, fuck.
Yeah, so they're doing I think they're doing a nonstop trip from Japan all the way to New Zealand, so the C-17 is actually going to be their tanker. For the whole time.
Oh, that's fucking tits.
I was just saying, it's like, knowing the U.S. Air Force, it's probably like, all right, you go there, you buzz the field once, and you turn around and come immediately back.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're going to be staying in, I think it's Ofenaki Air Base, close by, because the C-17 won't be able to land at Wanaka, because it's too small. the F-16s, I do hope they land, and you know, so you can get up close, because you know, like my dad and I were talking about it, and he's like, well, you know, they are military. They're probably, you know, they probably don't want the public to get too close. And it's like, but they're F-16s. They're the most widely exported bloody fighter jet in the world. I don't think there's many secrets on them,
right?
You know, especially because they're not. Are they still a frontline fighter for the US, or are they kind of like more reserve?
No, there's. I know in. I say I know. They might actually be secondaries.
I thought they were more resigned to guard units anymore.
Yeah.
The Marine Corps. We had them out at Yuma Air Base.
Well, you know, the Marines do just get whatever people don't want. So, I mean,
but everyone wants an F-16. It's a classic.
You know what's weird? I was thinking about it. The F-16, you sit there going, how old is the F-16? You think, oh, maybe, you know, 10, 20 years? 20 50. Years old? It's like 50. It's like, oh.
Yeah, it's Jesus. Like you imagine what a fucking 50-year-old aircraft looks like, and you're like, oh, like a, you know, P-51. No, it's an F-16. It's like, holy shit.
Well, it's like the Hercules, you know. It's like, that was, you know, Vietnam era. In fact, I heard a story when I was doing the 48-hour live stream, that our C-130s, we've just got our latest one, the J, which isn't even the latest one, it's just the latest one for New Zealand. We have one that a Vietnam veteran who flew on it reunited with it right?
Oh.
That C-130 is still in active service. It is still one of our active aircraft.
Holy shit.
Since Vietnam, where a veteran reunited with it, and it was still in active service.
Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, I guess. Fuck.
Oh, no, they do break, though. Every time we send one somewhere, we have to send two of them just in case, because they usually break down.
Jesus.
You can tell when the old one versus the Jays are flying, because the old ones have four trails of smoke coming out the back. Or, you know, exhaust or whatever. We call them the old smokies, but yeah. So the brand new C-130 is going to be down there. The Poseidon is going to be there as well. They're going to be showing that off. Those are cool. Avenger's going to be flying. Corsair will be flying overhead. I'll send you plenty of photos and videos. Don't worry.
Video, please.
Should I just upload it directly to Pornhub for you?
Yeah, that'd be fine. New Zealand skies get fucked by blue guy. I'll
But yeah, so, and then there's a whole bunch of World War I aircraft and all sorts of cool stuff. So that's why we aren't going to be recording next week, because I'm going to be walking around with a raging heart on. Anyway, without further ado, welcome to the Micro Machines podcast. You could probably tell by the first slide here, this is a celebration episode. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, but this is our 2-year anniversary.
Woo woo! Happy birthday, boys.
Happy birthday. I didn't think it was that long, actually. It doesn't feel like it, does it?
It really doesn't.
It only feels like a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but it would have thought we'd make it this far, eh?
Well, considering we're one of the smaller podcast communities, I'm actually kind of surprised too. I think the Discord has helped a lot in that.
Yeah. Because we do have a small community, but
cool.
They are loyal as fuck. I'll give them that.
Yes,
we are a very polarizing podcast. I find, so it's either people hate us or they really love us. No real in between.
I want to get like a group of haters and just like ask them why.
I think we know that 60s. Answer. I mean, you did see read that newest comment from the flower class.
I had a good laugh with that.
You saw that one, Clint, eh?
Yeah, that was a couple weeks ago, but I can't remember exactly what it said.
He said, good episode would have been better if it was just Callum and not the color commentaries from the others.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was funny. I love that one.
But that's what makes it funny.
I know. It's like, that's the point. It also saves me from, like, you know, if you just listen to me drone on for an hour, that would get a little bit boring.
Get with the times, old man.
So, yeah, this is our 2-year anniversary. So we're just going to be going. We've got a few things to talk about because it's been a while since we recorded. Because last week, of course, we had some major technical issues with Zencaster.
That was horrible.
So we couldn't release that at all. And then the week before that, of course, I had the 48-hour live streams and the charity event. So I'll be going through that in this podcast, this episode. So we're just been very, very busy just with modeling stuff, personal stuff as well. I know we've all gone through a few things lately, but it's good to be back doing the two-year anniversary. So first slide here, just a little recap on the last 2 years of the podcast. So we have done 62 episodes, I believe, 62. This is the 62nd episode.
Nice.
I still think we should be on like episode 20 or something like that.
Hey, like, Callum.
Yo.
Are we going to do introductions?
Nah, they fucking know who we are.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I just want to say I'm drinking a coffee.
Okay. I've got a Canadian Club and Dry. Blocks.
And I mixed it up this weekend. I got a wild cherry Pepsi.
Oh my god.
Dear.
Yeah.
Not a classic.
No,
what is a front of Malevolent Creek done to you?
I've seen things, man.
I'm here
you
for
wanna
you to
know.
Talk,
you wasn't there.
All right, I'm here for you to talk, brother.
So a quick introduction. You got me, Callum, from New Zealand with a Canadian club. You've got Garrison, the Marine with PTSD who likes to drive around and harass homeless people. And you've got Clint. You got Clint from Indiana who likes to pretend he's a Viking.
There's no pretend. You should see him on Malevolent Creek. Okay. Fucking savage.
If you guys want to introduce yourselves, go ahead.
No.
Go ahead,
you're
Clint.
Fine. You're fine.
Well, I mean, it sounds like it means so much to you. I mean, you know,
I just want to say, I'm making an electrical panel box out of foam and wire.
Cool.
Very nice.
Yes. I have autism.
No, I just wanted to add some of that color commentary that some people don't like.
Go for it.
but go ahead. No, I'm done now.
Oh, was that it? Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah, that was it.
Oh, all right. Cool. Right. Noted. Yeah, so we're done. So this is our 62nd episode. In that time, we have completed 6 group builds. Of course, the very, very start. I mean, technically, the very first group build wasn't even a podcast, but it was still under Micro Machines. That's what we called it. So it's kind of under the Micro Machines universe. So the very first one was the 1 to 100 that kind of brought us all together. After that was the artillery, then the Battle of the Bulge, Cold War, Normandy, and the recent one, North Africa. And of course, we've got 2 others going on at the moment, the Pacific War group build and the Sci-Fi group build. So that'll be 8 completed very soon. A couple of stats for YouTube, Spotify, and Patreon. YouTube, we currently have 209 subscribers.
Whoop, whoop.
And a combined total of about 9,200 views, which is pretty cool. On Spotify and RSS, still trying to figure out how those work. They're just difficult to find out information, but as far as I can tell, we've had 4,572 downloads on Spotify, and we have 22 followers on Spotify as well. Patreon, we have 3 paying Patreon members and 1 follower, which I never even expected to get 1 Patreon, to be honest. So,
yeah, that was kind of a stretch there.
Like when we did get that news, it's like, oh, Paul Gallagher, our very first Patreon, has become a Patreon. I just went, are you sure you want to?
No, there ain't no fucking way.
It's like, is this a mistake? Did you accidentally do this? But I've spoken to Paul quite a bit, actually. He's a really cool guy. We're going to get him on the podcast at some point because he makes some really cool stuff. He is so out of the box with his out-of-the-box thinking with his builds. It's he does some cool
refreshing.
Stuff.
Refreshing.
Right? Oh, yeah.
It's refreshing. Very, like, very.
Like that forced perspective, like 2D ship one he did. Did you see that one he did for his dad or something? That is cool. Who's texting
you? Hey, for the Republic.
Yeah, it's my phone.
And over the 2 years, we've had 5 guests, but we're looking to increase that quite a bit. So we've had John from Totally Tank Podcast. That was that one was a bit of a disaster, to be honest.
A little bit.
Yeah, it was. Embarrassing,
yeah,
but we've got to learn somehow, I guess. Yeah. Of course, then we had John from Panzer Podcast. We need to check in on him, see how he's going. He was doing last time we spoke, he was doing the Sherman timeline, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was a while back. Yeah, we got to check back in on him.
Yeah, send him a message. Then we got Nick, the Scale Armorer. Very cool guy who I'm going to be meeting up this year in Canberra at Scale ACT. Can't wait
Hell
for
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Martin Drayton, MD Scale Models. That was probably the best interview
really
we've done.
One.
That was really cool. That was a very, very good episode. He's a really cool guy.
Yes.
And, of course, the latest one we had, Ian Kezias from On The Bench Podcast, also a very cool guy, and I spent quite a bit of time chatting with him the 48-hour live stream for Model Officers, but We'll get into that in a little bit.
Oh, we also had our sponsor on there, too.
And, of course, we had our sponsor, Jeff Hearn from Scale Color and SE3D, talking all about that kind of stuff. So that was really good. So for the first time, we've got some listener mail feedback, or DM. And this is from Nick the Scale Armorer. To the MMP crew, happy second anniversary to the podcast. It's been a great 2 years of episodes. Here's to many more. That was a really nice message from Nick. That was very much appreciated. Nick's probably one of our biggest fans as well. He really loves our loves the podcast. Weirdo.
Love you, Nick.
Yeah, we love Nick. I actually chat to him like every day, so he's really cool. If you want to send us any feedback, mail, DMs, criticisms, critiques, if you just want to tell us to shut up and fuck off, you can do that in about three ways. So you have the email address, micro.machines.crew@gmail.com. You can contact us on Facebook. You can write something at the Micro Machines podcast. You'll find us there. You can even find us personally, you know. Or if you want to reach us all at Discord, we under the name Micro Machines with an exclamation mark at the end of it. But if you can't find us, flick us a message on Facebook or email, and we can send a link. I think I'll put the link in the Facebook group as well, just for people.
Just a warning, if you're wanting to tell us to like shut up and fuck off, that's totally cool. I would not recommend doing it on the server, because you'll have over 100 people coming at you. So,
I mean, if you want to, it'll be hilarious.
It'd be really fun.
Give us some entertainment, but, you know, just fair warning.
But also, you know, all negative stuff. You know, as you can see from the last comment we got on one of our episodes, we find very funny, to be honest. Like, if we do something that makes people take the time out of their day to write something about it, I am happy.
Agreed.
Yes.
But yeah, if you want to send us anything, you know, just a bit of mail and all that, those three are usually your best bet. You can also find all our Instagrams. You can find all our Instagrams and stuff like that on the show notes as well, if you want to contact us personally. Right. So a little breakdown for the last 2 years. Of course, we all have our favorite episodes that we've done so far to date.
Yes.
For Dennis, of course, Dennis isn't here at the moment. He's still at work.
RIP, my guy.
Yep. All he said was he's still in the harness. take that as you will. We won't tell you what he does for work. Partly for privacy, partly because you can make up your own mind about it, and I think that is even funnier.
You know what? If I think this would be great. If you guys want to comment down below what you think Dennis does for work based off that statement, we could throw that in the next episode.
That'd yes, please do. So the line is, Dennis couldn't be here. He's still at work. He's still in the harness.
You want me to read you like verbatim what he said?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
All right. He said, dog, I ain't even going to lie. I'm stuck in a fucking harness. We decided to lock in. Pizza break right now. I'm gonna leave that there and let you guys run with it.
Okay, I need to remind myself, I need to put that in the show notes in the description just for people to read it. Please comment in wherever you can your suggestion of what he does for work. We're not going to tell you what he does, but please make a suggestion. And we will read them all out in the next episode. It's going to be hilarious.
Oh, yes.
You know, honestly, I don't even think he knows what he does anymore.
Oh, God. Poor guy.
We like to punch down, don't we? So for Dennis, I kind of took a guess, but seeing how he is Canadian and he spent 2.5 hours talking about this aircraft, I'm going to guess his favorite was the Avro Arrow. Of course, being a true red and white Canadian, I think he's like obligated to love the Avro Arrow. So, and of course, that episode was actually really, really interesting and left us wondering why the fuck the Avro Arrow was cancelled because of the American
CIA.
They suck.
Yeah, agreed. I didn't say that.
Garrison, your favorite episode was?
The Leopard.
And why was that?
Because the leopard's fucking tits, and I thought it was a fun episode.
Nice. It was a good episode, actually. The leopard is a very cool tank.
Yeah, it was.
For me, my favorite episode was The Models We Need. That was the episode going through different vehicles that we think need either an updated model, because they're probably from like the 60s, or just don't have a model kit for them at all. So, of course, we went through the list, a list of all the things we want to see, and there were some very good suggestions, and it was just fun to try and like just think about and, you know, reminisce and, you know, just want to believe eventually these kits will come out, but you never know. You never know. But
time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell. I did enjoy that episode quite a bit, just talking about it, though.
Mm-hmm. It was a fun episode.
Yeah. Clint?
The SDKFZ251. I had a lot of fun putting that together. It's my favorite half track. So, got a thing for wheeled armor and half tracks. So, again, it was just really fun to do all the research and put this episode together.
And it was a very good episode, actually, as well. I didn't know too much about the 251, and I learned quite a bit from it.
We literally did that episode. I was in the camper, and I remember that was Clint's first episode with us.
Like that was in the what? Made.
I was in that camper before I moved into the house.
Oh, God, I remember that. Yeah, that's right, because...
Yeah, after you got out of the Marines, it's like you spent, what, like 3-4 months living in a camper?
Month and a half.
Yeah.
Actually, no, 2 months. 2 months. 2 months.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was quite a while, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember you having to tell, like, Will and Beth to shut up.
Well, I never said that. I did ask them to quiet down, so, you know. I'm not that bad.
Just very forcefully.
Yeah, I'm sure there's somewhere in a recording there's a shut the fuck up somewhere. I'm sure there is.
Probably.
I mean, duct tape works wonders, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It worked out great after that one episode. Redacted. For legal reasons, that's a joke. I swear to God.
Why has no one seen her, Garrison?
It's been over a year. Don't worry about it, Clint. Mind your own business.
And for Don, the honorary member, his favorite was the Stug versus Archer, just because he loves the Archer and hates the Stug, and he likes shitting on the Stug. So that was, he said that was his favorite episode. That was the episode where we had John from Panzer Podcast on, and Don was on, Gray was on as well. So there was about the eight of us.
Yeah,
there was
a lot of fucking people.
Nearly 3 hours long, and it took me 6 days to edit that episode to make it sound like so people could hear what was going on, sort of, but also 3 hours with eight media tracks. I think I felt something snap in my head on that one. Just a little like
that you did.
But no, these are all very good episodes, and I've enjoyed every single one of them.
Likewise.
Very.
All right. So, I mentioned this before, but I'll just do a quick little recap on what this is. So, a couple of weeks ago, I participated in a 48-hour live stream-a-thon type thing, raising money. I was hoping to get Garrison on to join in on the live stream for a bit, except what happened to you, Garrison, again?
I got exposed to a level 4 chemical at work, and yeah.
Pussy. It was,
yeah, exactly. Yep, totally. You know, one man level up from lethal. That's, yep.
Yeah.
Be a man. Eat the chemicals.
Yes.
But no, yeah, I got put in the hospital and shit, so that was a fun time.
Yes, Garrison got a face full of pesticides from an idiot being not too
idiot.
Careful. Yeah. So, I was on my own.
For actual legal reasons, I can't talk about that too much right now.
Yeah. But so yeah, because we're talking about getting him on, and I just had to say to the guys, don't think he will. He's currently in hospital right now. Cool.
That was a fun conversation.
Oh, they found it hilarious.
Oh, I bet.
So the model officers, Models for Heroes 48-hour group build. So this was a continuous live stream. In total, it's about 70 hours just because you got, you know, four teams? Yeah, four teams doing eight-hour live streams. So I was part of Team Australia New Zealand, although I was the only New Zealander there. And we were streaming for about 8 hours at a time, right up to like 3-4 in the morning. So I didn't get a lot of sleep that weekend, but it's for a good cause. So I don't mind it. So this is for the Models for Heroes, a charity in Britain for veterans and EMS, emergency services, fire, police, all of that. And it's basically help supply kits, help supply as a place for them to go, stuff like that. Because for a lot of these guys, you know, they don't leave the house much, so this is the only time they do leave the house. And it's for when they're struggling, and I think Garrison can attest to this, a counselor or something like that can only do so much because they never really experienced, they can't relate to it.
Yep.
So, whereas, you know, this charity helps them get them into a space with other people who've gone through similar and they can relate to it, and it just helps them cope, we'll say. So I think it was a pretty cool charity event to work with and to help out with. So during the time, I was building the Tamiya 48 scale V1 buzz bomb, which I managed to finish with 1 hour to spare. And that was after 7 major incidents with the model itself. The first one being, it was ghost seams like hell.
Mm.
Yeah, especially the one down the center. I filled and sanded that like 5 times, and even put the primer down, and it still was showing. Frustration. Then it was fully primed, and then I lost all the panel lines, so I had to rescribe some of them, and then eventually just had to strip the primer off, which was fun. At the very end, I had it all done, and it was like, right, I'm just going to do a matte clear coat. Just to, you know, bring down the shininess. And the thing turned white. Yeah.
That fucking sucks.
Yeah, so, you know, after walking away for a little bit to say some words, came back to it and then just lightly sanded it with a 3000 grit sanding sponge and then coated it, and then I just brushed water onto it and then did a very diluted thin layer of satin varnish, and that brought it back basically. So,
oh good,
yeah,
nice save.
Crisis averted on that one. There was also auctions, so companies could donate kits, modeling supplies, stuff like that, and all money going towards the auction goes straight to the charity. So on Team Australia, we just had 4. We had the Magic Factory M2A2 Bradley, the brand new one that's coming out.
Ooh.
Yep. We had the Airfix. What's that brand new bloody British helicopter they've just brought out? They've been going on about a lot. Westland something. Ugh.
I'm not a helicopter guy, so yeah, I don't have an idea.
But yeah, it was the new 48 scale helicopter Airfix have just brought out. SMS paints, scale model supply did this big bundle of airbrushes and paintbrushes and clips and paint and all this good stuff. You know, big supply. And the last one was the brand new Academy PBM5A Mariner in 72nd scale, which I managed to snag from the auctions.
Nice.
The reason I wanted this kit was A, I love the Mariner. B, this is Academy's brand new one, right? Absolutely brand new. And this is a pre-release. And so Metro Hobbies in Australia, where they got this one pre-release kit. It is the only kit outside of the Academy factory. So it's the only one in the world at the moment that's available to the public, and I managed to snag it. So this is a pre-release, and it's coming with a set of brand new Australian decals as well, which have never been seen before, never been used. So I'll be the very first person to get the kit and the decals together.
Dude, with all the old kits you do, you deserve a really nice new kit like that.
I know, right? It's going to be weird. It has, like, canopy masks and parts that fit. Recessed panel lines.
Oh, great heavens.
Wow. I know.
The works. I mean, you got it all.
How good is New Academy? Because I know their old stuff is very questionable.
I'm not sure. I haven't really tried brand new Academy, but I mean, I've had...
It's gotta be better than the old fucking shit from the 70s.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I think it is. One of the guys who sent it to me, he said couldn't help himself. He had a quick look through, and he said it looks really good. So I really can't wait for it. So the minute it's currently on its way, the minute it turns up here, I will drop basically everything and start building it.
Are you going to do a YouTube video over it?
Oh, God, yes. Because since it's a pre-release, this kit, especially with the special decals, won't be released for another 3 or 4 months, apparently.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Talk about a good view count. Shit.
Yep. So it's a massive aircraft as well, so it's going to be a massive kit. I need to find some space.
You said it's 30-second scale, right?
70-second.
Or 70, okay.
70-second scale, but it's still...
still a big aircraft.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the wingspan is about 20 inches, maybe?
God damn, in 70-second?
Yeah, I think... Dude! Maybe 15 to 20 inches. Yeah.
That's insane.
I mean, it's a big aircraft. Fucking for a two-engine aircraft, it's massive.
Yeah.
So I'll be doing the Royal Australian Air Force in the dark green. So instead of being the blue, it'll be dark green, I think. I just need to check, though. It seems like all the Australian ones were transport only. They were unarmed, which seems a shame because the Mariner has 8 50-cals on it. So I think I'll do an armed Australian one. So
what we could have had.
Yeah.
Okay, it'd be a shame to to not do it that way.
I know, right? I mean, that's what makes aircraft fun. Guns.
Yes. Yeah.
Not broom handles.
So yeah, not over
Tokyo.
I wonder if they just drop the broom handles as well, just for like, what the hell?
Like, but throw them in there.
So over the 70 hours, though, tallied up, we managed to raise £9,000, which is £18,700 in New Zealand, £17,400 in Australian, and £11,500 in US, which is, for a weekend, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Especially, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Very good. So I've already confirmed that I'll be participating next year, and hopefully maybe you two can get in on the action, maybe.
If I don't get exposed to chemicals again, I should be there.
Yeah. Once I found out that, it was already too late, I thought it had to be a 48-scale kit.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure that, like, the theme changes every year, so it's just, are you able to build in 48 hours?
I know, it's like, I thought this year was, like, 48 scale and 48, and it's like, well, I really don't have anything that in that scale I could do in a weekend, and I seen someone was doing, like, a 1/12 tractor. It's like, well, shit.
Yeah, it was a bit, like, especially for the Australian, New Zealand side, everything was a bit late and rushed and a bit disorganized with things. So next year things will be way better. We have more time to prepare and stuff like that. So yeah.
Good learning points from this year to bring in next year.
Yeah,
absolutely. But it was a great time. A lot of fun. I was, so I was hanging out with Craig Everson in Australia, John Marley, who we should probably get on the podcast because he's pretty cool. He was he was in the Royal Australian Air Force, as working on Hornets as a mechanic, I think. And then also was on the F-35 for a bit.
Ooh.
And
don't let Dennis know, he'll fucking steal him away.
Yeah. And also Ian Kezia from On the Bench podcast. So yeah, I was hanging out with those three a lot, as well as James Giffen from Just Make a Conversation, and Steph as well. Steph was a cool guy. He was cool. I like him. Bit zany, but yeah. But that is.
I'm glad you had a good time, man.
Mm. Oh yeah, it was like definitely try and get you guys on next year. Absolutely.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Well, that was the 48-hour recap.
Beautiful.
So I'll shut up for a bit and let Garrison take over on this one, because we're just going to do the competition submission and winner for the North Africa group build. Usually we do the recreation as well, but because of just time constraints, we're just going to do the competition stuff for now. So take away.
All right. So the first one we've got here is Martins Tamia's words. Venerable. All right, that word.
Venerable.
SAS Jeep with figures by Soga Miniatures, photo etch upgrade set by Venerlin, and extra stowage from Value Gear Decals. So Value Gear Details, not decals. Fucking idiot. my eyes are crossed. Sorry. Yeah, no, it looks fucking sweet. We've already gone over this last week, so I'm trying to get in the zone here. Fuck. Yeah. Martin, as always, another great piece. It's nice to see like a small vignette type coming from Martin. Mm-hmm. Awesome base, good scene. I love the groundwork at the very bottom there by the minefield. I think that's my favorite part of this, is how he did the groundwork.
Oh yeah, and like the dust being kicked up and stuff like that. That's really cool how he's managed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then also,
I just feel bad for the gunner in the back because he's about to fly out.
he's about to literally eat that 50 cal.
He said, "Eat this, Jerry," and then he's about to eat that shit.
Oh, the driver's about to take the MP40 in the face as soon as he hits the ground.
Yeah,
fact.
Yep. But considering that this is like the Tamiya SAS Jeep, which was from the 70s at least.
Yeah, it's old shit.
I mean, it's a really, really good kit. The only thing I'd say is the 50 cal on it you would want to change out, just because it's not that good. But otherwise, like, seriously, good kit. It was really fun.
He did a good job with it too, especially all the extra stuff he added, like the value gear and whatnot.
Yeah,
it was good stuff.
Yeah, so cool, so cool.
All right, then we got Dawn's Valentine, beautiful piece of armor here. I love the way he did the camouflage and the weathering. It's so subtle, but it just works so good.
Oh yeah, the camo is great on this.
Oh yeah, it looks so fucking like that's some shit like. Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes me want to build a Valentine.
I've actually got a Valentine coming on its way at the moment. I bought one on Trade Me.
Can't wait.
Although it's an early one with the 2-pounder, which kind of my favorite one.
Oh, well, there you go.
But so he made this is the Bronco kit, and he had a lot of trouble with the tracks and the suspension. It's supposed to be workable suspension. It ain't.
Bless his heart.
Yeah, it's always fun to watch Don have a little bit of a crisis with a kit. It's just good
from
the sidelines.
That's like part of Don's modeling experience. Is like there's a crisis with every kit, and it's just amazing.
Yeah.
Yep.
But this is a really good model, really good paint job, just good everything. I love it.
Agreed. Good shit, Don. All right. Next, we have Nick, the Scale Armor. He's got the Second Battle of LMA, 1st of October 1942 to 1st November 1942. IBG model Chevrolet C6OS petrol tank. Dragon Models, LMA Sherman Mark II with mini art Continental radial engine. And always nice to see Nick's work. It's really cool seeing he made this diorama. Love the scene. It kind of flows real well, in my opinion. The trees, and he did the natural lighting too, which just makes it look even cooler.
Oh yeah,
makes the shadows really good.
Oh yeah, and all the little details he added, like, you know, it's something cool too. Like, a lot of people don't do like refueling stations or whatever, or like maintenance work, but this guy, you know, Nick, he did a great job at showcasing that, especially out in the middle of the bumfuck desert.
Yeah, and the fact he was brave enough to build the Dragon Models Sherman Mark II and then cut it in half, that's commendable.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Agreed. I wonder what he's going to do with the second half.
I think... I'm not sure. He's got some ideas. I mean, it's all built up. I suggested making a bookend out of it.
Oh, that would be dope as shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I do like the fact that... Who hates this little guy with the V for Victory again?
I do.
I was about to say, that'd be a Clint.
The fact you want to punch it because it's so lifelike and you hate it just makes it even better, I think.
Yeah, well, it's just the smirk the guy's got on his face. So it's like he's captured that, you know, smug British punchable face perfectly.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks. And I will say his C60 just looks incredible as well.
Oh yeah.
Like, he didn't, like, especially with like the windscreen. I just love the effect he's done with the dust and all that. It's so cool.
Yep. Very nice. Very nice work, Nick. All right. Help me out here, guys. How the fuck do you say this dude's name again?
Mikal.
I'm so bad at fucking names. Mikal's 1/35th Calm Before the Storm Italian tank crew taking a break by a bunker with an officer paying them a visit. Tamiya Kitt's one bashed figure and the rest are Glowell miniatures.
Never heard of them, but
I think neither. He said they was local to where he's at.
Yeah.
Oh, Poland.
Yeah. I think you might have to look into them though, because they look pretty damn good.
They do. But I love this scene mainly because it's a compact diorama. The layout works so well. The figures and vehicles look great, and you never hardly ever see Italian subject covered, especially in the North Africa campaign. I think that's really cool he did that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that tank he's done, the M... Fuck. What is it? I want to say M13-40.
Yeah. Whatever it is, he did a bomb-ass job, so...
Yeah, that looks really good. The pant, especially like the... all the riveted panels and stuff like that. That just looks really good with the weathering he's done on that. And even the Panzer IV in the background just looks incredible.
Oh, yeah. And he didn't cut it up nearly as much as like Nick did, but he still cut it into the scene, which I love when people do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Instead of like trying to extend things out to fit the whole thing, you just have a little section of it and, you know, it just kind of just...
Snip, snip.
Yep. And then also his groundwork. His groundwork around the bunker is just really good as well.
Oh, it's immaculate. I freaking love it. Like, this is... I'm not a big North Africa fan, like you guys know, but this scene right here is fucking awesome. How they've got the concrete bunker with the sand berm and the road and the signs right there. That's fucking sweet.
Yeah.
Gives me Motorpool vibes.
You just love Motorpool bloody dioramas, don't you?
If they're done right, yeah. They're pretty sweet.
Right.
Like my buddy in Korea, he's on deployment right now, and he sent me a video of the Black Panther tanks there. They went to a mortar range, and I was looking at it, and I was like, fuck, that would make a great diorama. Like, they pulled a turret off, and were putting it in reverse. I'll send it to you guys, but it's so fucking cool.
Oh, cool. Nice. All right. And the winner of the competition, the $60 and all of that, is...
Mikal!
Congratulations.
Congratulations, again. Matt. We'll be in touch with you once this episode is out to arrange everything. And yeah, big congratulations on this one.
Good job, buddy. Well deserved.
Yeah. But also a big thanks to Martin, Don, and Nick, because this was like the hardest judging we've done so far.
Yeah, we sat here for a solid like hour trying to fucking decide.
It was like a lot of back and forth and back and forth and, you know, arguing.
We had to get really picky with specific things to make this one work.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is like good, to be honest. If we have 100%. To go down to like minute details, then that's a big compliment to everyone on just how well they did it.
Oh, yes.
Definitely.
If we could afford it, which we can barely afford what we're about to do, we would give everyone a prize because you guys just did amazing work.
Yeah, big shout out, big recognition, big props to everyone. And also everyone in the recreational as well.
Yeah, we had like 17 submissions for the rec.
Yeah, if you want to go see them, they're all on the Discord. I think I'll do a special post on Facebook just to show them all. So, yeah. All right. And so this is our 2-year anniversary, and we have a little bit of an announcement to make. And don't worry, if you're looking by the slide, it's probably not what you think or hope, depending on which commenter you are. So, of course, for the listeners, we have the MMP logo with a big red cross through it. And that is because, over 2 years, we've changed quite a bit. You know, from the original crew, I'm sure they don't mind me saying, you probably noticed Ezra, Jack, and Val aren't around much. That is because, especially them, they're at that age of trying to decide what to do with their lives. They're young enough and stuff like that. So with Val, he is joining the Bundeswehr. Is that right?
Yeah, he's actually in the Bundeswehr right now.
Oh, so he's actually like part of it now?
Yeah, he's going through training.
Yep. Nice. So Val is in the Bundeswehr, so he's, you know, just a little bit busy. And Ezra has he officially joined? Or is he?
Yeah,
still...
he's enlisted.
So Ezra is enlisting into the U.S. Army as he's hoping to be a tanker, isn't he?
Yeah, he signed up for a 19-kilo contract, which is our armor crewman. So
nice. Are you a little bit jealous on that one?
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie. Try to do an inter-service transfer and they denied me because of my knees. Yeah, I'm a little jealous. I'm about to be that sports dad who lives vicariously through his son. His son hates him.
You're just going to be like, you'll just see him in an Abrams and be like, can I get a photo of this, and this?
Pretty accurate. I'd be like, hey, if I drive down there during your gunnery, can I load around? Can I do that?
Yeah, so... Ezra has joined the army as well, so he's going to be a little bit busy as well. Jack, he is kind of got a lot of work and university commitments, but he'll still be around, I think. You know, he wants to come back. He's just been too busy.
Yeah, life gets that way sometimes.
Yeah, so they've kind of gone. And, of course, we've brought Clint on. As a regular member now, kicking and screaming. So that's what happened. You turned up once and you hung around too long.
I know, it was my own fault.
Yeah. So we've brought on Clint. We also have Don as what we call a friend of the podcast. So he kind of just, if he wants to turn up, you know, he can. He's always fun to be on an episode with.
Yes.
So it's kind of... the brand is a bit different now. You know, you look at the logo, it's got all the country balls, me, you know, one Kiwi, two American, two Canadian, and one German. And it's kind of all changing a bit. And we want to try and make a brand now that is more suited to the current MMP. So we have... So I'm currently in discussions with a designer at the moment. So we're getting a logo that is, you know, designed professionally. And we'll be, and of course, you know, with every new season, year, whatever of the podcast, you know, intros, you know, you see a certain style change within intros and music and all that. So that's standard. So that's going to be changing as well. But the main thing is the MMP logo will be changing. We will be changing it to something new that represents us a bit more than the old one.
Very exciting.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Pardon?
Oh, so really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit sad to see the old one go. I mean, it'll still be around, but you know, I think we all decided we want something that represents us a bit more accurately as we are now. I guess
it just makes more sense.
Yeah, yeah. The one that we have at the moment is just like it was ideal for at the start, but now it's just not fit for purpose. Mm-hmm. So,
which is okay. And yeah. Not only that, but hopefully with the new logo, we can start looking into getting some merch out. That was one of the reasons we've held off for so long, as we've been wanting to do this for a little while, but just haven't gotten around to doing it yet.
Yeah, so we figured two-year anniversary is a good time to get into it. So hopefully, if all goes well, the next episode after this will be the full brand-new look, brand-new sound of the MMP. So... something to look forward to.
Yes.
Yeah. And that brings us to the end of the recap. Of course, this is the midway point of the episode. We'll still have hobby news and whips and group build updates and all of that. So we're just going to have a quick little break and then we'll be back for all of that. So I hope everyone enjoyed that little 2-year birthday bash, anniversary, whatever you want to call it. And we are back with the hobby news. And, of course, we've been away for a while, and there have been a lot of big announcements lately, so we're just going to hook straight into it. So some of these might be old news to some people, but don't care. First up, from Meng, we have the Atreides Ornithopter in 72nd scale, part of the Dune series. And no, you guys probably haven't seen Dune, but I have, and I've been a fan of Dune for a long time. I've read a lot of the books, and this is definitely something I want to pick up at some point because I think they just look awesome as hell.
They Ming needs to do some Helldiver shit.
Oh, that would be cool. But yeah, so of course they've already released the Harkonnen Ornithopter and the Spice Harvester, and the new one is the Atreides. So it's what I like about all the Ornithopters is they have a different design to each of the house. So, yeah, the Atreides one, big glass windows in it, very dragonfly looking, very cool. Up next from Gecko Models, this goofy little number is the US M76 Amphibious Cargo Carrier Otter Early Production. This comes with a very cool decal set, having a weird-ass face on the front of it. Comes with photo etched parts and yeah, looks goofy as hell, but I love it. It's so cool.
Imagine you're setting up an ambush to kill the Americans, and then that little goofy ass motherfucker pops up out of the water. It's like, do we shoot it or do we not? Because it's kind of cute looking. Like it looks like it's got a bit of tism in it, and it's like, oh, come here, little guy.
It just looks. It looks too high and too short. Like, it looks very top-heavy.
Yeah.
Oh, God, imagine doing a sharp turn and flurring everyone out in that thing.
You probably could. But, HIDF. I just love it, though. Yes. I love it. I want one so bad. I love Gecko Models making all these Vietnam stuff. I like this trend.
It's like the road wheels in this thing looks like tractor tires.
Honestly? But, yeah. Very cool. Very unique.
Very.
Right. This is the point where last time the recording went goodbye. Keep an eye on it.
It's still going.
So, from Flyhawk in 72nd scale, we are getting two Panzerkampfwagen II Alps L looks. This is the Panzer II, which ended up getting the interlapping road wheel torsion bar suspension. And quite a bit of serious armor upgrade as well. I think it ended up with about 60 to 80 millimeters of armor on it.
True.
It was like a baby tiger in a way.
Yeah, it looks like a little tiger and a Panzer II had a baby.
Yeah.
How did it move?
There is actually one at Bovington I've seen up close. They are really cool. They're a really cool looking light tank. So you're getting two kits. one that has... so we'll get in a bonus one, includes one resin figure, a prototype from Rabbit Club, as well as what looks like resin tracks and a metal barrel. And the second one doesn't come with the resin figure, but it comes with, it says, oh God, what the hell is that word?
Yeah. Hang on. I got this. Zustadzepanzerung. Zustadzepanzerung! There you go. I nailed that shit.
Very good.
Yeah. Don't know what it is. My guess is, just looking between the two box arts, it's probably this grill on the front.
Probably.
Yeah.
Like now, early standoff armor?
Yeah, yeah.
Real quick, Clint. You know how Let Loose, you can play the looks in it. So, just saying.
But, yeah. It's a pity they're not in 35th scale, because Panzer II in 72nd is pretty damn small, but
oh, yeah.
Otherwise, very good, very, very cool.
So I wasn't aware that Flyhawk was making armor. I thought they were just stuck to ship stuff.
Yeah. I didn't, yeah.
Times change.
Yeah, branching out. This one's for Garrison. We have from MiniArt the Iraqi T-55L-AL Enigma. Soviet made base, don't know what that means. But this is the weird T-55 that they found in Iraq, the Enigma. It's got all this weird armor and stuff like that.
I need to make it.
Like, I didn't even realize it had this weird space backplate armor type thing. It's just weird, isn't it?
It is really weird.
Like, I wonder how effective it actually was.
Well, I mean...
We saw how the battle went, so...
Yeah. I was about to say, it's like they all still got clapped pretty much, so...
Yeah, yeah. But it does look cool, though. Oh, the Enigma is a very cool-looking tank with all the weird additions to it, so... Something I would like to have as well.
And didn't these still have manual turrets in them?
God, did like, it?
I'm pretty sure they did. The gunner had to fucking crank them around.
Fuck that shit!
God, with all that extra armor on it. Oh, fuck, no.
His forearms are fucking huge.
How'd they manage to get through the tank hatch with those forearms? Fucking Popeye in there. Up next from Kinetic, we're getting a 48 scale F-104G with Canadian decals. So it's a pity Dennis isn't here, because he would probably... Well, I think you guys would be in a splash zone.
Good thing he's in the harness north. Still.
Right.
From Ryfield Model, a Panther Alps G, which includes night sights, air defense armor, steel wheels, and workable tracks.
Wait a minute.
Gotta say,
don't we already have one of these?
I gave you...
I think it was just the G without the added stuff.
Yeah, I got...
I gave...
I think I got one in the stash already. That's
Yeah, Ryfield. I gave... Oh, from Ryfield?
Yeah.
Oh. The one I gave you was from DML.
Oh, my bad. Mine's an F, not a G.
So we got the G with... I gotta say, with all the add-ons, the G looks good. You know, with the night sights, and the air defense armor just looks cool. So, I mean... Hate to admit this, I would probably like this kit as well. right, we have two Pumas, STKFZ 234-2, coming out at the same time. Both in 35th scale, both with full interiors, with engines. And that is from Ryfield Models and MiniArt. They're both releasing them at the same time. And this would probably make Clint very happy.
I don't know which one I want to get. Ryfield Models is really good. Mini Art's pretty soft plastic.
The Ryfield Models also comes with resin parts for the muzzle brake, so you get either the standard muzzle brake or a covered one. Mm. Just putting it out there. Yeah, sort of either or. Don't know which one you'd like, but I will say both box arts go hard.
Oh, yes. Very.
Like I do like the camo on the Mini Art one. That looks cool. It's almost like they must have like insider information about what who's releasing what. I mean, the number of times where like TACOM releases an Apache, and then there's seven new kits from other companies. Like, come on. Just wanted to put this one in for aircraft. KP Models are releasing two ME262s. The first one is the 262A1-A in the German service. And the second one, actually, they are called the Avia S92. These are post-war 262s that the Czech Republic took over, Czechoslovakia took over after the war and started producing them, and they called them the Avia S92. So it comes with, so instead of being in the splinter camo of the Germans, it's they're you've got Czech markings for them, and I think there's some slight differences to them. But yeah, lesser known fact about the 262, they were used after the war for a bit by different countries.
I never knew that.
Yeah, Czech Republic, Czechoslovakia took them over.
I mean, it only makes sense. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's German aircraft and they're used for bad shit, but like 262 is a good fucking aircraft.
Yeah, they actually have way more kills than what, and they were produced way more than what people would imagine. I think they I think they have like something like 200 to 300 kills in total.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Like there were a lot of them, like more than you'd expect. Okay, from Italy, we have a D-Day special, a GMC 2.5-ton trucks, 6x6. Comes with the ring mount for with the 50 cal and decal sheets for three versions. And I figured this one would probably get Garrison going.
A little bit.
Yeah, Normandy 6x6. Yep, looks pretty
and
good.
And it has a 50 on it. That just like, oh.
Yeah. And also from Italy, we have an EF-111A Raven in 72nd scale. This is basically an F-111 Aardvark, but you know, turned into the equivalent of a Growler, basically. Is it a Growler that's the electronic warfare Hornet?
No.
This is a Dennis question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think you have the F-18 Hornet, and then you have the EF-18 Growler, which is like the electronic countermeasures Hornet, and that's basically what the Raven is to the Aardvark, which the Aardvark is one of the few jets I would love to have as well. It's just such a cool aircraft. From Das Werk in 35th scale, in cooperation with Vespid Models, we have a GFF Eagle 4 EKT German words 2013. So this is a German troop carrier. Has a on top it has a Crows MG3, and that looks like a missile system next to it, doesn't it? I don't know much about this vehicle. Looks cool as hell though.
It does.
You have four decal options as well. Bundeswehr, ISAF, Irish UN, and UN. Actually, the Irish UN one would be look pretty cool.
I'm about to say that would be fucking tits.
Yeah. Okay. From Hobby Boss in 48 scale, we are getting the funniest tank destroyer named.
Is this the Dicker Max?
Yes. yes, the Dicker Max, which is a casemate, large caliber cannon tank destroyer made on the Panzer IV chassis. This is sporting a 105mm cannon. Of course, after this, you have the Stürmer Mill, which is based off the VK3001H chassis with the 128mm. But, yeah, just wanted to throw it out there because it's called Dicker Max. Come on.
And what company's putting this out?
Pardon?
What company's doing this?
Hobby Boss in 48.
See how it compares to the old Dragon one.
Yeah.
Come on, Max, dick her down.
From IBG in 72nd scale, they are releasing a lot of really cool stuff. If only it was in 35th scale. We have a Focke-Wulf 190 D9 or Dora 9. That is the Focke-Wulf 190 with two engines in the nose. That was for high altitude bomber formation, shooting down, interceptoring type thing. The predecessor to the TA-152. We have a Panzer Bellswagen II A2, which looks like a Panzer I with a Panzer II turret and some extras on. I've never seen that before, but...
Me either.
Yeah.
Krauts got drunk and had work.
Yeah. They're also releasing in the lineup a BTR-4E Ukrainian Army with slat armor,
oh, yes.
Which I will say, for a modern vehicle, looks incredible.
It does.
A Daimler Armored Car Mark II, which I am excited about, if only it was in 35th scale. Mm-hmm. An M1139 Italian tank. That is the one where the 37mm is in the hull and it has a rotating turret with two machine guns. Also, would love to have one in 35th scale, but unfortunately it's 72nd scale. As well as two FV4101 charioteers. One in Finnish service and one in British service. The charioteer is a Cromwell with a new turret that has the 32-pounder in it.
Mm.
And they, I think they look really cool, and I'd love to have one. And lastly, from TACOM, latest announcements.
What could it be?
An SDKFZ 250 ALFS A. Not a 251, a 250. Well, is there much of a difference? Yeah, go for it.
Oh, so this is a welcome surprise.
Is there much difference between a 250 and a 251?
250's
not
shorter.
Too much.
Or
is it shorter?
Not as long, sorry.
Right. Okay, so it's the 251 stumpy brother.
Yeah.
Pretty much. it's a 251 they gave to the Krauts who needed to ride the short bus.
Yeah. So yeah, they've announced so it's the Alps A, so the very first version as well. So when did that one come out? I feel like that would probably be like a 1938. Or 37, maybe.
Let's see what Google says really quick.
I mean, when did the 251 first come out again?
Let's see. KFZ 250.
Yeah, type away over there.
1939 is when this came out. And it's all service from 1941 to the end of the war.
Huh. Because I know it went through a lot of iterations like the 251. Mm-hmm. Like the 250-9 has the 20mm cannon on it. And it looks really cool. So, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see what TACOM do with this one. Hopefully it's like full interior and everything. So.
Looks like it was pretty much developed right along with the 251.
Huh. Were they just like two different companies?
Yeah, what's the purpose with the fucking short 251? Like,
I mean, you know, does it depend on the weather? Summer it's a 251, and winter it's a 250?
It was pretty much, I guess it was developed, I replaced the SDKFZ-10.
All right. And that is all for hobby news, so we'll just dive right into what we've been working on.
Splendid.
I am up first with my Tamiya 1-700 USS Hornet for the Doolittle Raid. I haven't done a lot of work, to be honest. I've been pretty busy with other stuff, but lately I've managed to mask off the bottom of the hull and start spraying the disruptive pattern. So that was all. So that's just one bit of masking tape. That one,
really,
very nice.
Looks yeah, really just good. Got. I got the. It's the Tamiya 40mm wide tape. Mm-hmm. And all I did was stuck it down onto the mat to remove some of the stickiness as well, and then just with a sharp blade, just cut around and made one giant long stencil, basically.
Callum.
Yep.
Why was it sticky?
Pardon?
Why was it sticky?
Well, I mean, Tamiya tape is pretty exciting, you see.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. If you need to talk to somebody about it, buddy, let me know, okay?
I'll just send you the video.
Actually, yeah, do that.
Yeah, so that was using Tamiya masking tape. Then the tower, or island, it's called an island, isn't it?
Yeah. Fuck, you got me, dude.
Yeah. So that was masked off with blue tack and a toothpick. So it actually worked out really well. And the last thing which I completed last night was finishing all 16 B-25s. Fully painted, decaled, everything.
I know that took you a fucking minute.
It took me 3...
You got a close-up of one of them?
I'll send you one and I'll add one in post production, but there's not much to them. I'll give it that. They have 4 decals, which are all the stars for the wings and the fuselage, and they were not good decals. They were off center. You know, you got like the clear which they sit on.
Yeah.
They were off center on that, all of them. They were very thick, so they didn't want to conform well. And there was so much carrier film. My God, they like the decal sheet. When I took the decals off, like it was thick with carrier film. They were sticking to the mat.
Mm.
Like I've never seen that before. Like why are there so much carrier film on them? So they'll just did not enjoy that. And I spent 3 hours last night doing that.
Oh God!
Yeah, yeah. Nick can attest to that because I was just texting him as my brain melted. But yeah, so
help.
All I've got left is I've got to do the lifeboats, seal it all, and then paint the flight deck because the flight deck was not black or anything. It was actually a very dark navy blue.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to figure out how I'm going to do that because they were wooden decks with a blue varnish or blue stain on them, which I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Yeah. So once I do that, then I can pin wash it all, do that, and make a base for it. The base will probably just take me a day, to be honest. But it's progressing along. And I'm going to have the lead one just, you know, there's that photo and you're watching, it drops just below the deck and then rises up. So it's going to be that moment just as it drops off.
Mm.
And it'll be stuck up with wire or something. Yeah. But it's going well.
Very nice. Very nice. Very nice.
And I've just got some extra... These are just extra photos of the Tamiya V1 buzz bomb that I made for the 48-hour live stream. Which I'm pretty happy with the airbrushing results, I got to say. Getting a nice soft blend in.
Looks really good.
Yeah.
It does.
I also a little
handy mitt too.
Oh yeah, that actually comes with the kit and everything.
Oh.
Yeah, that's everything. Comes with it. Mm-hmm. It's a very good kit. It's a very good kit. And I also did a little bit of pre-shading as well, which you may or may not see. I don't know. Anyway, moving on.
Oh!
It was only a matter of time.
The files are from Galactic Armory. He makes a whole bunch of stuff from Halo to mostly Star Wars, but he's started putting out some of his Helldiver stuff, so I've been 3D printing myself a B-01 tactical helmet.
Democracy needs us.
Exactly.
Is this one that you'll be able to wear?
Democracy. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Does it fit?
It fits, yeah.
You're going to have to, send a photo of that, eh?
Yeah, I'll keep you guys updated as
How
I build
much
it.
Would you charge?
Garrison wants his own one now.
Since I bought the files off of Galactic Armory, it's like, you know, I can't sell the prints that I make from it, only, you know, for personal use.
How much
officially.
Would the resin cost? Wink, wink.
Oh, it's FDM. So it's probably it's about run roll of filament, so it costs me about $20 to make it.
That's okay, not bad, so actually.
I'll send you 40. I want it.
I mean, if you purchased the file, you know, then you would purchase the rights to print them. So I
how much are the file?
$20.
Fuck.
Again, that's okay. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Bet.
Yeah. Very cool.
And this is what I just started on last night. It's the Kawasaki KI-61-ID Hein, also known as the Tony.
It looks like a Tony.
Well, the reason is we first had contact with these during the Doolittle raid, which, you know, kind of ties in with Callum's doing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you know, we didn't know that they had a fighter with an inline engine. We actually mistook them as BF-109s, which they use a Daimler-Benz DB-109 engine, or sorry, 601 engine.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I mean, it actually looks like a BF-109 as well.
Yeah. But then, so they first got the codename Mike, because they thought that it was a 109. But then, you know, later contact, they realized it looks more like an Italian aircraft, so they redesignated it Tony.
That's fuck. I love American
that is so good
names.
I like the fact that the Hein is such a dramatic change from all the other Japanese aircraft.
Oh yeah,
like yeah, it's a complete design, because they only used it for home defense, didn't they?
No, it saw some other action.
Did it? Oh
yeah, I believe it saw action on Grotto Canal.
I think it did too.
Okay, I always thought
it
was
just more
into
the history of it, but
yeah, because I think one of its primary things was home defense. But
oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, its primary objective was.
Hmm. Especially near the end of the war.
Yeah.
As with every, as with all the Japanese aircraft. Are you going to try and do the box art camo scheme?
I'm going to attempt.
Fuck yes.
I know a YouTube video I can send to you. LPJ Models. LPJ?
I just watched that one this evening.
Yeah. He did a really good job on that one, so that's good. Mm-hmm. That was a good video.
And Sully Scale Models just, I think his last video was of this kit.
Oh, yeah. And you're also going all out with the wheels and gun barrels.
Yeah, and also got a Quinta Studios set, which this is for the Hasegawa kit, but I'm pretty sure I'll be able to make it work.
Yeah, yeah.
And very Dennis cool. has this kit in the stash, and I keep telling him, you're like, hey, we need to build this together, but he has not replied to me.
Keep messaging him. Just keep going.
We need to harass that boy and get him to stop working.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop working with the harness. Again, remember, comment below what you think Dennis does.
There is no wrong answer. Wink, wink. All right. So this is what I've been working on. This is my What If Cold War diorama. I've been doing a bit of work on the base itself. So starting from top left, going right and then bottom, I got about, I'd say, a good 90... Well, as of the picture, it was like 90% painted. I've got it 98% painted about now. I just got to do the inside of the windows and another layer for the carpet. Got the tree built with the broken branches, roads done, sidewalks done. I just glued on the electrical box and light for the building. Lots of fun there. Got some bottles on the bottom. Let's see, what was that? Okay. Yeah, I got some bottles there on the bottom. Then on the right hand side, I got my, I want to call it a 251. God, STRV. Goddamn. Brain fart. STRV is almost done. I have painted the branches like a flat earth color, and all I got to do is add snow and the branches and the 2.5, goddamn, the SDRV will be done. And but I'm going to weather everything all at the same time, so that'll all come together once it's all done. But got the, while I've been working, I painted Drix Krogs on the door, which means drinking house. I think that's what that means in Swedish. I painted the gutters like a dark rust color, and then added the electrical light and electrical panel on the side of the building in the alleyway.
Very cool. I do like the seam lines on the bottles.
Yeah, most of those are going to be covered by rubble anyway, so I said, fuck it.
Sorry, I just couldn't help myself on that one.
No, you're good. I really thought about taking care of them. I was like, you know what? You're not really going to see them anyways, so fuck it.
Just face them towards the back.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And then next up here, you've got the three figures that I built for the Cold War diorama. These are supposed to be Russian conscripts holding the town, two anti-tank men with the fire team leader. These were really fun to do. Made a custom camouflage. And after they sat for a few days with the oil wash, they look a lot better than when I recorded my YouTube video. I should stop recording my YouTube videos the moment I do the fucking wash. But yeah, now they look pretty good. I'm very happy with them. Pretty excited to get them on the diorama. I'm getting close with this thing, guys. I ordered the fucking nameplates, should be here this week. So
nice.
All I got to do now is, well, yeah, actually all I got to do now is put down the rubble, let that dry, and then I can paint the rubble, and then add snow, and that. Oh, and then another layer of mud in the trench in the back, and paint the interior windows, and another layer on the carpet, and that really should be it. Oh, and a wash on the tree. But that's it. That's all I got left.
Very cool. Yeah. I like that guy's mustache.
Oh, thank yeah, you. That's my favorite. Looks just like John Cleese.
I was just thinking that. I was like, that's John. It looks like John Cleese in that middle photo.
It does. I've been telling him that since he started painting them. It looks like John Cleese.
Oh, John Cleese in an alternative low. what was it? Faulty Towers Goes to War.
There's a Monty Python joke in there somewhere. Just
oh yeah,
somewhere soon to be exposed. All right, so moving into the group builds. Currently, we have the Pacific Theater group build going on from the 1st of March to September 1st. If you'd like to find out more information about it, join the Discord. We have an entire category with a channel set for it. All the rules, the prize is the same as this last group builds. $60 worth of models of your choice, one winner only, and we've already got quite a few people wanting to submit for a competition, so go ahead and join. And even if you just want to submit something for recreation, that's completely fine. Come join the fun and show us what you can do. Next, we got a science fiction group build from the same time frame. This one's just for fun, shits and gigs. If I can get some Helldivers 2 shit, I'll be doing that. I wasn't going to do this one, but I said, fuck it. I really want to do some Helldivers 2 stuff. So, yeah, same shit. Then the ongoing for the foreseeable future, the Horizon on Defense Force group build. I have an updated one with a different timeline. I got to get that sent to you. yeah, so this is just ongoing for the foreseeable future. It's a Discord's official group build that we'll never stop because HIDF is kind of our thing. Build whatever the fuck you want, however the fuck you want. It's literally like off-brand Fiji with Warsaw Pact and NATO equipment that's just fucking thrown together. so come have some fun. It's a really good palate cleanser. Like, the HIDF is a really good palate cleanser for if you do like a lot of historical stuff or whatever, you just need a break from what you normally build. Really good palate cleanser.
Or if you just got a kit that is just shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
HIV it.
Yeah. And once you finish listening to us, go check out all the other podcasts out there. You will find them on scalepodcast.com. You'll find all sorts, like Model Insanity podcasts, Small Subjects, Model Geeks, On the Bench, all of them. I won't go through them all this week because my voice hurts. And, of course, a big shout-out to our Patreons, you bunch of weirdos. Paul Gallagher, Lord Floki, or Clint, although he's part of the podcast, he pays to be here for some reason. Robert Judson and Robert Brisbane, you guys are awesome. And before we close out, I'm going to send you guys a photo of something really cool that I might add in post-production if I remember it. This is the one-to-one set from the movie... Yamato 2005. This is the one-to-one set they made of the Yamato's deck.
Oh, sweet.
That you could walk around. That is really cool. I would love to like walk around that.
Yeah.
One-to-one scale diorama would be awesome.
Oh, Jesus.
But on that note, that has been 2 years of the Micro Machines podcast so far. That was our 2-year anniversary. So I would like to thank everyone from the bottom of our hearts for listening to us for 2 years, if you have, if you've been brave enough to. But next time we're up, you'll be seeing a brand new MMP, brand new design, brand new music, brand new everything. So, until then, you have been listening to the Micro Machines podcast. We would like to thank you if you are still listening and watching at this point. We will see you next time. From the MMP crew to you, cheers, and see you later.
Deuces, fuckers. Appreciate you guys.